This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm broadcasting live. Hold on, my computer froze. Where am I? Who am I?
You want me to finish it for you?
I got it. I'm here at least.
That's true.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Flag is Up Farm in Solvang, California, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 13th, episode 1211. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
That's right. It is Monday. And it's one of those Mondays where you're in the situation where you don't want it to end. So I feel like, you know, we've gotten in the airplane and I've gone up and then now I'm kind of heading on the descent and I don't want the descent to go very quickly. So I'd like it to stay Monday, please.
Okay. I'll arrange that. I'll have a talk with the big boss, okay?
Slow things down a little bit. I'm loving being out here. It's just amazing. So I won't brag.
Well, right now, you're the first time in 2.5 years without a child screaming in the background. And then you haven't changed a diaper in about a week. And your weather is not 140 degrees.
Life couldn't get much better.
And you're living in your camper. I mean, what the heck? What more could you ask for? Maybe accept a bigger shower.
Exactly. A little bit bigger water tank. I'm used to Chad having him to do all the details of the trailer. Because when we go somewhere, I usually go get the horses set up and he sets up the trailer. And he puts the propane and he does the water and all this. Well, 2 days ago, I turn on the shower and I'm letting it run and then just the water stops. So apparently you have to like refill it.
Yeah, it's not endless. You're not hooked to a hose.
No, not hooked to a hose. You just have to like put more water in that. I don't understand why you have to do that. And then yesterday I turned on the shower and it just never got hot.
Oh, you ran out of propane?
Crap. So I jump in, I take a cold shower. I'm like, oh, go. And I kept thinking it was going to warm up. You know, I was like, maybe I jumped in too early. Out of propane. No gas. And then, so I realized I have a bag of ice in the fridge and I have a little freezer, like freezer.
Oh, it melted everywhere.
I open the freezer and water pours out.
like in the movies where they open the door and it just...
Yes. So as much as I am loving being here in solo, I can't take care of myself. I need a husband. What am I supposed to do?
That's why you got married, right?
Exactly. Who's going to fill my propane? So I had to call him and I was like, how do I do that? Like, how do I get gas
and he's
for
like,
this?
You take the tank and you go to the store.
This right? is too confusing. So you have to take the tank off and then go to the store or just go to the store, get the tank, come back. It gets boy stuff. I'm always doing the horses. He's always doing the trailer stuff. And usually when it's time for me to leave somewhere, he's like, I got the trailer ready while I was getting the horse stuff ready. It's just that's our team nature. So I don't, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot about myself and having to work hard. You know, I can do these things by myself. It's just, I don't have to. So,
nor do you want to.
Nor do I want to. I was reading something that says a true woman can do it herself, but a true gentleman won't let her. And I was like, that's That's what I want to be. But I got to do it myself. So I'm learning.
Well, it sounds like you had an amazing weekend, and we're going to talk about that coming up in the first half hour. But Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up the rest of the show.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, following Jamie's weekend's worth of equestrian educational adventures update, Wilson is here to recount. Yay, you like that? Jennifer Wilson is going to be here to recount the amazing first few weeks of the life of her adorable twin foals, Magus and Magician, two Arabian foals that were born very recently and have quite the amazing story. And then the cherry on top of our Monday Sunday, the Wacky World of Horse Nation is going to put Glenn and Jamie to the test. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I hate those. I always lose when she quizzes us. You always beat
lose.
Me.
We both lose.
Hey, it's Daily Winnie time. Well, this is my Daily Winnie is combined with a Pan Am Games update. And I got to tell you that my Daily Winnie goes out to the United States dressage team that won gold in the team Woo-hoo! Event at the Pan American Games on Sunday. They earned what was more important about that than winning the Pan Am Games was they did not qualify as of this point for the Olympics as a team. Because you have to qualify and be, you know, as a team for the Olympics. You can go as individuals, but you can't go as a team unless you actually qualify. They had not qualified yet. So this earns them the automatic qualifying spot for the Olympics in Rio.
Yay!
The American team was Sabine Schutt-Carey, Kimberly Herslow, Laura Graves, and Stefan Peters. They had a combined total score of 460 to punch their Rio ticket. Canada came in really close behind them with a 454, only 6 points off, and they won the silver. Brazil took the bronze with a 414, so it was pretty close all weekend. What happens now is there's 23 horse rider combinations. The top ones will move forward to the individual finals on Tuesday. They'll do their freestyles, and they do that, I believe, Tuesday afternoon, and then they'll award the individual medals. Now, that nothing carries over. The team competition is complete, and the individual athletes will start with a fresh scorecard. So let me see how this works. I think it's just freestyle, and then the individual medals will be awarded on Tuesday. So
congratulations!
I know Reese and Philip were there, and they watched the whole weekend and had a good time. I could not get either one of them on this morning because they were teaching lessons, but...
No lies. They're hungover and sleeping.
That's probably true.
Let's be real.
That's probably true when those two get together. But yeah, so it was a good time this weekend by everybody up there. And now eventing starts on Wednesday with the jog, and I believe it starts Thursday with dressage, and it goes like a normal 3-day event. It'll be 2 days of dressage and then Saturday and Sunday to round it out. So I think that's how it's going to work. And then jumping starts the following week.
Okay.
So that we'll keep you up to date on everything happening up there at the Pan Am Games as best we can. And hopefully next week we'll have a live or a report from there somebody at Eventing Nation.
Hey, Glenn, I noticed the other night that you were watching the opening ceremonies. Were they pretty cool?
Oh, my God. Jamie.
I saw your Facebook post. Is it me, the only one that doesn't get opening ceremonies?
Does anybody understand an opening ceremonies to anything? Does it make any freaking sense at all?
Is it supposed to be a story?
I don't know what it's supposed to be. It's just bizarre. And you know, Rhonda, our legacy listener, Rhonda from Canada, went to the opening ceremonies, and I texted her yesterday. And I said, was it just me? Is it better in person? And she said, I watched them, but the opening ceremonies are something I think you have to see in person. I think they are a little weird. And she wrote back, they are weird in person too. So apparently I'm not the only one. I got a lot of comments. It was bizarre. It was, you probably don't remember the Olympics in France where they had the opening ceremonies and all these girls were out there in these big balls. And it was just bizarre. Well, this one was kind of like that. But then it is a French kind of area. I it's just I don't get it either. Even the Olympic ones, they're just ridiculous. They're just.
I don't get Cirque du Soleil. So what am I, I'm not
well,
I
guess
get
who was doing the performing at this at this opener at the Pan Am Games? Cirque
Are
du Soleil.
You kidding me?
Nope.
I didn't know that.
Nope.
Ahead of time.
So you would have loved this, Jamie.
Amazing.
All right, your turn.
Well, I usually like to do a very positive Daily Winnie, and I'm going to try to see the positive in this. It's just, I don't know. Did you read the news about California Chrome over the weekend?
No, I didn't see any news.
I was so excited about, you know, we talked to Justin Zayed on Saturday about potentially seeing California Chrome and American Pharoah in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And it seemed like a very real possibility. California Chrome is likely out the rest of the year and may be done.
Really?
May be done racing. Yeah.
Because of the injury? So,
because of the injury, it was discovered during an examination for evaluating the four-year-old for a stud deal. And he's going to now have at least 3 months of rest. It's a injury to the cannon bone. Cannon bone bruise. Now, this is different because before he had an abscess.
Yeah, I
or
thought
what
it was
they were saying is an
last
abscess.
Time. Yeah.
So Art Sherman says he's probably out for the rest of the year. It's only 3 months, but that's almost the rest of the year. And if you're going to race him again, you're going to have to get him back into training. And if they decide to run him next year, he'll be fine. The owners haven't made up their mind, but they'll know in the next couple of days. The rest of the examination came out perfect. But he says that he's just kind of letting it soak in. That
well, this is a bummer. I had ordered the trains to come to the match race. I had started getting all the plans ready, inviting people.
Match race is canceled.
Nobody told me I could have canceled the trains.
You know, Art Sherman seems like just kind of an old racetrack guy, and he really loves this horse from what I can tell. And he's trying to be very nice because if you remember, California Chrome went to the Dubai World Cup and then they sent him over to England and he was going to run in the Royal Ascot, but then he had the foot condition there. And so Art was speculating on whether what could have been, and his quote is, it just seems once he was away, I mean, they did a good job. The guy's taking care of him. But boy, I wish he would have been home. It's so hard.
If I remember right, Art was not in favor of this.
No, not happy.
He didn't want him going overseas at all.
Yeah, it's so hard. You get to thinking about it, whether it would have happened with me, I don't know. So he's trying to be, it's so funny, he started out. It just seems once he was away, back up. I mean, they did a good job taking care of him.
That whole team doesn't know when to keep their mouth shut.
Well, it's just... I think one of my friends who's in racing in Arizona posted dumbass partners equals dumbass partners.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
But, you know, I mean, I'm happy that they're doing what's best for the horse, obviously. It just goes to show you that they are already thinking stud. I would like to think that the chatty owner, you know, he probably would like him to race again in the spring. But I think Perry, the kind of quiet owner, probably thinks end of the year, breeding season starts next spring.
Yeah, let's take our money and make it while we can.
Let's make our money while we can. So this cannon bone thing, and it seems like he's just been plagued with one thing after another. And I'm so sad because I really wanted to see him run again. He's just such a spectacular horse. It doesn't matter who's around him; he just is amazing. So there you go.
There you go. Well, before we get to your weekend, I got to bring up one other thing that's kind of, I don't know, it's positive for one person, but there was big scuttlebutt out of Canada this weekend for the Pan Am Games, actually. And I don't know if you read that Stuart Black withdrew from the Canadian team after being arrested for allegedly committing domestic assault in Ontario. He was granted bail, and he withdrew from the team. Now, Stuart says that there was no misconduct on his part, and everything will be proven in court. But he stepped down to the, he's also said he stepped down from the team due to a flare up of his Crohn's disease. Now, any politician that gets in trouble, why do they resign, Jamie? for family or health reasons, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Every politician that gets in trouble resigns for family or health reasons. Now, he's not a politician, but kind of get what I'm saying. Now, Celine O'Hanlon is going to be taking the place. Now, he was the alternate, so he was not on, you know, on the direct team. He was the alternate, so she gets Celine now will be taking his spot.
I hate when this happens to anybody, be it the victim or, I mean, somebody's a victim. He could be the victim or whoever else is involved.
They didn't say much else. There's not much else that's been said on that part. You know, he's had kind of a weird past because he's, I never did quite understand all of this, and I don't understand how you can do this, but he originally changed his nationality to Canadian after moving from England in 1977. He represented Canada at the Olympics, World Equestrian Games, and Pan American Games before switching to ride for the USA in 2004 after he was not named the Canadian Athens Olympic team that year. So I don't get how you can just switch your countries around to three different countries, basically, and then back to Canada in 2014 because he wanted to be on the Pan Am Games. I don't get how all that works.
Well, the avalanche effect of something like this is very, very broad. So it's really sad for whoever's involved. You know, I hate to speculate on anything. I always tend to side with the female because that's what we do. But I, you know, who knows about this? So it's just really, really sad and really frustrating. And you know, he probably doesn't own his horse. So there's owners that are involved that he just withdrew, and there's teammates, and there's all sorts of stuff that goes on with this. And just brutal. That's tough.
Yep. Politics at the highest level of sport.
Yeah.
Well, what are you, quite a weekend.
I did have quite a weekend. It started with, my trailer on Friday night, let's say Redbox has become my new best friend because I don't have TV, but I have a TV that plays movies. So I've watched 50-1 since I got here at least 10 times. I just put it on in the background now. It's so good. And he wins every time.
Every time. And Bob Bradford looks like a jerk every time.
I didn't realize how much of a jerk they made him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I just want to go back and watch the interviews because as they're walking down, he's like, who are you worried about, Bob? You know, they're interviewing him. And he's like, I'm worried about all of them. Well, except for the Cowboys. Did he really say that?
No. We'll have to check. I don't know.
And Bob Baffert was a cowboy. He was a quarter horse trainer. So it makes it hard. When I saw this movie, he was totally a villain. But now after seeing him and his generosity in effect, I have a hard time. But this was pre-heart attack. I'm not speculating.
Well,
I'm
you know, saying. The truth is usually somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, yep. This is true. That's a good point. So I watched 50-1 three times on repeat Friday night. And then Saturday morning, I had a riding lesson with Bunny Sexton at Shepherd Ranch. And it was fantastic. I loaded Edward up and took him. It was seriously like 5 miles from here. And imagine eventing in this beautiful, the San Ynez Valley. It's just so incredible here. The one thing I got to tell you, it will get a horse to see everything when you go to her place. It is so busy with kids and ponies. They do pony club there. So I drive in and there's like 10 trailers. There's kids everywhere. There's horses everywhere. There's dogs everywhere. And the cross country course is in the pasture where horses are turned out.
Oh, really?
I have never ridden cross country in a pasture with horses. And there's sprinklers in certain places and just noise. And poor Edward, his little mind was blown. But I thought, you know, that when she said, she was like, this will get them used to seeing everything. And I said, that's true, because he's seeing everything right now. I mean, it got to the point where I was trying to put it together a bunch of fences, and it was like, sprinklers, loose horse. I was like spooking left and spooking right. But we got the job done, and had a lovely lesson. She has a very, very hot thoroughbred too. So he got off the trailer and she was like, oh, I know what to do with him. So we worked on a lot of flat where he was really good, trying to get his mind on us, working on some leg yielding, and it really helped. So, and he went out there and jumped like a pro. It was great. So I wasn't that girl. I was kind of like,
I watched a couple of the videos you posted on your Facebook page, and you look good.
Thank you. I really needed studs, so I had to ride pretty. There was no opening up the pace, you know, because I didn't have any studs. I didn't realize I would have needed them. So anyway, so I did that, and then Saturday evening was our kind of a girls' night out, but Monty came.
With Monty?
So, bless her heart, there are so many single, beautiful women that live on this farm. And they just appear out of nowhere. And we all go to the bar. A group of us goes, my classmates and I, and then all the girls that work here came, you know, at 10, which is when you're supposed to go to the bar. We went at 7. So,
you're like done at 10.
And I thought, I'll be home by 10. No, that wasn't happening. Everybody here is like 21, Glenn, and me. And all these girls are 21 to 25. And here's me. And it was like, I was dang 21 again. I don't know what happened. They're buying shots of Jägermeister, which I do not drink. So they're all doing shots. And I didn't drink that much, but I didn't drink any water. So I was totally, I wouldn't say I was really, really drunk, but I was feeling good. And all these girls hit the dance floor and I'm like, I'm going to go. And of course you get drug out there, you know, with one girl after another. It is 1 a.m. in the morning. 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, that's it. I've got to get a cab. So I started calling cab companies. I couldn't get a cab until 2 o'clock in the morning because there was such a big group, they had to send the van. They wouldn't let you just whatever. So 2 o'clock in the morning, I roll home. Are you kidding me? How old am I? I am way too young to be
hanging. You're 27, right? You were just 2 years older than them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. I am way too old to be hanging out with 21-year-olds at a bar. It was a life lesson because Sunday morning I woke up.
Well, how long did Monty make it? Was he out there dancing at 2 a.m?
Oh, Lord, no. Lord, no. You know what? I'm going to post it. I did dance with a guy, and I'm going to email this picture to Jennifer, and maybe she can post it.
Is Chad allowed to see this picture?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I showed him. I said, I found a new man, and I just wanted to let you know that I've been cutting a rug, if you will, with a guy. And I'm going to email Jennifer a picture and she'll post it. You guys will love it. So I did dance, and Monty would not dance. Pat, Monty's wife, danced with the same gentleman I did. We all kind of passed him around. It was probably his best night ever. And so it was great. It was really fun. And then they left and I should have gone with them. I don't know what I was thinking. The girls were like, come on, let's have another drink. And, you know, we're looking at boys and I'm trying to find cute boys because everybody's like, you know, at least 10 years younger than me at this place. I was kind of the old girl. So it was the world famous Maverick Saloon. It is where many, many television commercials and TV shows and videos. Shania Twain's Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under video was filmed in this saloon. She was dancing around the patrons, and that's pretty much what I was doing, swinging around. I looked just like Shania in there, dancing around.
You sound just like her, too.
I do. Yeah. I could sing some right now if you want to hear.
Oh, that's okay. I think we'll pass. I think we kind of got the idea.
Okay. So then so it was really fun. And I am way too old to be doing that. But I did love that one of the girls, as we were walking out, you know, they were all like, we didn't meet anybody. And as I'm waiting for the cab to come up, I turn around and there's a group of guys talking to the group of girls. And one of the girls walks up. And I'm not going to tell you where she's from because it'll give it away. You'll know who she is. But she looks them all up and down. Like there's 5 guys and she looks at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And she looks back at number 4 and she's like, what is your phone number? And he gives her his phone number. Okay, thank you. And she leaves. I'm like, that's game. I never would have had game like that. That was amazing. What is your phone number? I will call you. So it was really fun, and it was 2 a.m., and I had a ripping headache most of the day yesterday.
Well, I don't know. This is her in the bar, actually.
Do you see it? See, that's
the
bar.
Yeah, I just saw the bar, actually.
Lolita, your little space. I know, our voices are together.
Yeah, I mean, you're just so perfect.
I mean, it's like seamless.
Hey, was the old guy from the video, the old cowboy in the bar? With the gray hair and the mustache? Was he in there?
I don't remember him, but I'll send you the picture of the guy I danced with, and you can tell me if that's him.
Okay. That's funny. Very good. Well, I'm glad you had fun with that. But then you did something that had everybody that is a Monty Roberts fan ever drooling on a Sunday. And you posted a picture and you talked about it. And it really did have all the Monty people going, I hope you realize how special this is.
I know. And yes, for those of you who did post that, like, you better know how lucky you are. I know.
We're threatening your life if you don't.
I know. Well, Monty's big idea when we were out at the pub was to everybody, we're going to go to breakfast in the morning. And yeah, so right. Joanne and I said, oh, what time are you thinking? He's like, 8. Oh, Lord. And she's like, how about, he goes, there'd be a line. It's Ellen's Pancake House. There'll be a line. So we pushed him back to 8:30. So
did anybody make it?
Monty tells you to be somewhere. By God, you're going to be there. And so I'm sitting outside my trailer at 8:30, coffee in hand, you know, bleary eyed and a mess. And they all pick me up and we go to breakfast. And as we're at breakfast, you know, there's no rest for the weary here. He is an 80-year-old man that has more energy than all of us put together. He's like, we're going to ride at 1. And he drops me off after breakfast and leaves. Okay. I'm riding at 1. And I had a riding lesson with him on a Sunday with basically there's one other girl. She and I rode with Monty. I had a lesson on Thor. And it was so incredible because for those who don't know, Thor was a bit of a runaway. If you are out walking, he's walking 100 miles an hour. You squeeze him into the trot. Just breathe him into the trot. He trot, canter, get a gallop, gallop, and you can't stop him. He's a bit of a runaway. He did it in the sale in the video with the BLM. He ran away with the guy, and I thought he had a pretty trot when I saw that. I haven't been able
to. You overlooked the whole bolting problem.
I was like, whatever, I can fix that. He'll be fine. But look at that trot when he was running away with the guy, you know, because get. And so he's really helped me with that. And I posted a video on Thor's Facebook page of me with totally loose reins. And I had it like a helmet cam, holding it up and just cantering around the most massive, perfect footing arena that you've ever been in. So, yes, I know how lucky I am. I pinch myself every day. I feel like I won the lottery. And, you know, at the end of the lesson, I said to Monty, because that's what I call him, Monty.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
we all call him Monty.
I said, I can't thank you enough. I feel like I won the dang lottery being here. And I said, I can't thank you enough. You didn't have to do this. It's Sunday. And you could be up resting or doing whatever you want to do. And here you are out working with Joanne and I on our horses. And he said, he just was like, this is 100 times more fun for me than it is for you. I get to watch you girls who are inspired and excited and using his methods have success. And he just said, he's like, it's 10 times more exciting for me than it is for you. Like, I doubt that, but thank you. Thank you for saying that. And even at some point, if you see the picture, I'm like, Joanna, take my picture. Because she was on her horse. And the passing of the phone, you know, over. I'm like, get my picture. So, I mean, gosh, what an experience. Just incredibly awesome. So it was really, really incredible. Yes, I know how lucky I am, and I'll never forget this.
One of the things that impressed me, Monty was sitting on his horse, too, whose name is Chrome.
Mm-hmm. I keep calling him California.
Is every California horse named Chrome? Is that?
I mean, seriously, I keep calling him I'm like, California Chrome, just Chrome. It's very hard to look at a chestnut with a big blaze like that in socks and not say California Chrome. So I got to remind myself.
Well, yeah. And when I saw it, I don't think, you know, and you got comments to this effect too, and it surprised me too. I don't think we'd ever seen Thor in context before. You know, every horse looks big next to you because you're like 5 foot nothing. So, you know, when we see pictures of you standing beside him is one thing. But then when we saw the two of you sitting there, Thor is huge.
He is. And what exacerbates his height is that his neck comes straight up out of his back. He's not one of those low-necked horses. He is a very, very high-necked horse. And he just stands there. And if you can see in the picture, we've been cantering for quite a while because of trying to fix the runaway problem. And I awkwardly just made him stop and take a picture with me. And so we worked on halting and standing still and doing all this. And he's clearly blowing. He's like, take a picture. And so he just is even he's just really, really big. And he just, he's not even, he's probably 16 hands if you measure him at the withers. But with his head and neck, he's like 9 feet tall giraffe.
Well, do you have problems with his saddle slipping?
Why?
Just because a lot of times horses that are built like that, the saddle tend to slip back.
It does slip back. Yeah. I was wondering, did I complain about it one time?
No, yeah. But that's what happens with those high horses because their withers tend, everything's got a different angle. And then the saddle tends to want to slip back on you.
Well, the good news is Thor's belly is
big enough. I was going to say, because of his girth, it doesn't.
His belly's big enough, it won't go too far back as long as you get it tight enough. But we're working on the belly. We're working on it.
That's funny. Yeah. Your reaction was funny. It's like, wow, did I complain about that before? Why no, I actually do know a little bit about that. I haven't been in the tack business for a while.
Yeah, it's very true. I think he would do well with a breast collar, but you know, one thing at a time.
Yeah, you'll get some of that. That you've fed him very well. He looks very healthy.
He's shiny and healthy, and the problem is he can't just not eat while everybody else eats. It's not fair.
That's true. You know, but, you know, one of the reasons he's shiny and healthy is Omega Alpha Equine. You know, I have a little something I'm going to play for you later on in the show, and one of the things I talk about in it is the fact that we don't advertise anything we don't believe in. And last week, I turned down a product that we tested, and it just didn't work for us. And as hard as it is to turn away money from sponsors, we just, you know, it's Jamie and I and the rest of the hosts saying, look, we like this product. We use it. We're not going to lie to you. So with that particular company, I said, you might. But, you know, I I'm not going to say who it is or what kind of product or anything, because we don't ever talk bad about a company that's really trying hard to make it either. But it just didn't work for us. It maybe works for other people. It just didn't work for us. So we only do companies that we really, truly believe in. And Omega Alpha is one of those, and partly because it's all natural products. You know, Dr. Chang, who you hear on this show once a month, is unbelievable. He knows his stuff. He just knows everything there is to know about herbs and medicine and the all natural products that are out there. And one of the things is Omega Alpha has a ton of different products. We tend to talk about a couple that we use, but they have products for blood, for gut, for energy, hormones, immunity, joint, kidneys. I mean, just on and on and on.
Is on Minarec that we don't really talk about very often, and it's a mineral supplement, and I think that's why he's so dang shiny. And I don't want to pump my horse full of chemicals. These are natural products, and that's what I really like about them.
And I know we have a sister-in-law that uses Premare because she has this mare that's always, you know, seems to be mare-ish.
Witchy mare.
Yeah, she's just a witchy mare, and this Premare just does work. But they have stuff for joints and kidneys and livers and lungs and muscles and just everything, as well as the vitamins and minerals like you talked about, the Minarex. And they have a couple of different vitamin mineral supplements, too, depending on what you're looking for. So one of the nice things about their website is you can go on and it tells you what's in it. You know exactly what's in the products because they're all natural. There's a science to putting these herbs together in the right combinations and the right formulas to make them work for your horse. But all of these products are something you can look up individually that are in these and see exactly what they are because they're just plants, you know? What they are. But the real science is putting them all together to make them work perfectly. And that's what Omega Alpha does. So if you're looking for an all-natural product for your horse, for anything really to do with your horse from nose to tail, then you want to take a look at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And also, you can follow them on Facebook. Well, coming up next, we have our first guest. And we're so excited to talk to her because she has had something happen that most people will never see in their lifetimes. And it's something that doesn't happen very often. This is very unique. And it was a big surprise to her. She is a breeder, so having babies is not a surprise. But what happened to her was quite a surprise. This is Jennifer Wilson, and she breeds Arabians. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Well,
thank you for having me.
Before we talk about what happened, which we haven't said yet, tell us about Mom.
She's an 11-year-old purebred mare. This was her fourth breeding. We have never had any surprises or any issues or complications with her. She's been just an excellent breeder and a phenomenal mom the whole way around every time.
And these are Arabians?
Yes.
Are they show Arabians or endurance horses, or what do they usually end up being?
Show. I breed primarily for a halter and conformation with the philosophy that if their conformation is sound and fits into the ideal Arabian horse, then they will also be an athletic creature that will later be able to perform well in the show ring. And so far it has worked very well. Many of my halter babies have gone on to have successful understaddle careers as well.
And how many mares do you have?
I have one purebred mare and two half Arab mares.
So, okay, so it's a fairly small operation, not like you're doing 100 a year, but you've seen enough babies over the lifetime, and you've had enough moms get pregnant. And do you guys do natural cover or artificial?
I do both. This past year, for this year's foals, happens to be live cover. I usually do AI and have it shipped, but there were two absolutely fantastic stallions in the area last year, and I took advantage of them.
All right, so this mom was natural cover then. So
yes.
Live cover. Okay, good. So all right, so now we've set it up. This mom and you've had a lot of babies, so I assume you bring them off to the vet and you get them ultrasounded, right?
I do. Before and after breeding.
There you go. So, and that's what most of us do, but we usually do the ultrasounds. I mean, most people, when we had our babies, we do the ultrasounds when you're, 8-10 weeks in. And then, you know, if everything's going fine, we never had them ultrasounded again. How often do you do it?
When I breed early in the breeding season, I will have a roughly 15-day sonogram, give or take a couple days. And then I'll do a 30-day heartbeat check, just to make sure that the baby has stuck and everything was correct, because if they absorb the embryo, I want to be able to rebreed. But gotcha. Later in the year, I'm not going to rebreed if she absorbs the baby.
Right. So now you have this, and the ultrasound was done, and the ultrasound showed a heartbeat, and everything was good, I assume?
Actually, we only did an 18-day check.
Okay.
Because by then it was already mid-August.
Gotcha.
Last year was so weird. It was all across the country. It seemed everybody I talked to, their mares were not coming into heat. It was just a strange summer. I think if I remember correctly, it was really cloudy, and my mares just were not cycling correctly last year. And so by the time we bred them, it was already like mid-July.
Okay, so now you're coming up to the time to have the baby, and are you one of those that sits out there or has the camera and you're watching every 10 seconds because you are running out there all night long? Is that how you do it?
Normally. This is a strange year for us. We actually put our house on the market. We're ready to expand our farm and build much larger. We put our house on the market in April. It unexpectedly sold in 6 days. The buyers gave us 28
happen?
Days to get out. So I don't know. We weren't ready for that. And then the buyers had already sold their house, so they had a contract, and they gave us 28 days to get on out of Dodge.
All right. That never happens when you're selling a farm, ever. It
you
was
know
a
what
strange
happens?
Year.
You think to yourself, dang, I should ask more money.
Yeah.
That's the first
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. I had already told my husband he had asked too much, and I'm glad I went with him instead of the price I was thinking.
He was right this time.
he sure was. So I told him, I said, you know, honey, we have to be moved into our father-in-law's house, which is where we're staying for a year while we're building our new home. I'm like, we have to be moved in there in 28 days. And this was the end of April, and our first mare was due May 29th. I'm like, and you have, until mid-May to finish building a run-in barn kind of thing with stalls that's reasonable for having foals in. And so he went crazy, and our first mare foaled on May 29th. And then I was out with her every night, and I caught her, sitting in my chair watching. But the properties are attached, but it's through the woods. So it's a good quarter mile trek from my house now, where I am, through the woods and across two pastures to this new run-in barn in this beautiful pasture for the mares. And so it's not just like popping out the back door and looking, and it's too far away to have a baby monitor or any kind of camera.
Yeah, the signal won't go that far.
And I happen to be 7 months pregnant myself.
Oh, good.
Lord have mercy.
God, could anything else happen to you in 1 year?
the me pregnant, this is our third. That one was not planned. I never would have bred mares in a year. I was planning on having my own. That one was our surprise. All the precautions we take with the horses, and I'm the one with the surprise. So by the time it was ready for Mona to foal, I was pretty tired. And she has a history of going early. She has had two of her foals at 320 days and one at, I believe, about 327, which is extremely early. 320 is actually on the line of, is it going to make it or not? So she went off her grain, which she usually does, which is annoying because then she starts losing a little bit of weight. And of course, you want them plumped up as much as possible before nursing. And I'm like, you know, Mark, I think she's going to go pretty soon. And I was just checking every night, and it was getting to be a bit much. And she'd wax up, and then it would go away, and then she'd act really uncomfortable, and then she'd act normal. And, you know, day 320, 321, 322. And I'm getting more and more tired, and these late night tracks were getting to be a bit too much. So there was one night where I said, there's been absolutely no change. I'm sleeping tonight.
Uh-oh.
I think you all know what happened then.
So what did you see? We build up the suspense here. What did you see when you went out that morning?
I go out in the morning to feed breakfast, and Mona was not right at the stall door. She was kind of in the middle of the stall, and I've done this enough to know that that meant she had probably done something. And then instead of nickering for her food, her head went down. I saw her head go down and sniff the floor, and I'm like, I know she didn't. And I walk up to the stall door, and I looked, and I almost died. And I just said, one, two, one, two, one, two. Oh, my God, what have you done?
So she had twins.
She had twins, yes. And they were dry and fluffy and laying down. And so the first thing I did was call my husband, who was getting ready to leave for work.
Were you screaming into the phone?
I don't think I was screaming, but I said, do not go to work. We have babies. And he said, babies? I said, yeah, there's twins here. And he didn't want to believe me. And I told him to get his rear end back there, please. And in that time, those babies hopped right up and started nursing. So I know they were several hours old and had already done the I can't figure out how to nurse thing all on their own and figured it out. And
you know, I got goosebumps right now. I got goosebumps right now for many reasons. One is usually when there's twins, one is very unhealthy and causes a huge vet bill and doesn't make it. The other one might make it, or sometimes they both die. I mean, it's not a very good scenario for horses. And yet there was a single placenta too, which means these might be identical twins. Have you checked on that?
The DNA is out. The information should be back by the end of next week.
To see if they're identical.
About that.
And that, identical. How many times is that? That does like doesn't happen with horses, does it? The identical twin thing?
There is so little research. I have looked and looked, and I have tried to find research that'll help me explain it to people in layman's terms. And of course, nothing's written in layman's terms. New Bolton is looking into it for me, but they still don't even really have any answers on exact like ratios or percentages. The best that I have found is that about 1 in 10,000 twins result in live foals. And I have also found that some kind of very vague statements that say the equine egg is not designed to split pretty much ever, and that there's only been a handful of documented identical cases.
Wow. Well, Jamie, Jamie's a twin, so this must be giving you goosebumps too.
Well, the good news is we're not identical. I have a twin brother, but it was fraternal, which is very typical of what if a mare is going to carry, which is amazing because having a mare carry twins to term is unheard of. And having two successful live foals is unheard of. And then for them to be identical, I've never heard that before. So it'll be interesting to see if that is the case. Otherwise, I'm thinking a couple things. Okay. Maybe the veterinarian missed the, we need to work on his ultrasound skills or her ultrasound skills.
Except it was so early, he wouldn't know. It would say, if they're both in the same placenta, wouldn't really know.
No, I know. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, was it missed? Was there another, but there was just one placenta that came out, hunt? That is pretty incredible. They've got to be identical if only one placenta came out. But no wonder the poor thing wouldn't eat and wouldn't all this. She had heartburn so bad, probably.
Was she bigger than normal?
No.
No?
No, actually, she's a very, I don't know, she's not a big mare. She's only about 14.3. And she has always been very tubey, kind of shaped in the body. And when you go to, if you attempt to show her, like in confirmation or in halter classes, you really actually have to get her overweight to get her to look like she has enough weight. She's just like she would be a swimsuit model if she was a human.
She's one of those girls that shows up at the hospital and has a baby and didn't know she was pregnant.
Exactly. Her first foal, I took her to a reproduction farm for her first foal, just to be on the safe side, not knowing if she was going to have complications, not knowing if her hips were narrow. And I got her off the trailer, and she had had milk just streaming down her legs. I knew it was very, very, very close. And the girl that was getting ready to put her in her stall asked to whom I was breeding her. And I said, no, we're getting ready to have a baby probably tonight. And like she just couldn't even believe that she was pregnant. And after four breedings, she still did to my husband and I. We did actually say that she looked quite a bit bigger than she normally does, but to the regular person, she just kind of looked like a chunky pasture mare.
I hate girls like her. I mean, seriously. Have a baby and then, they walk out of the hospital carrying their child and they're skinny again.
The Kate Middleton syndrome there.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, I got to tell you, I'm looking at the pictures of the babies. These are cute as the Dickens, and their stripes almost look identical. But they are so cute. Now, they look pretty tiny, and I assume they are tinier than normal.
They are small. None of her foals on hitting the ground have been large. She does have a colt that is a 15.3 hand 2-year-old now. So they seem to grow large. I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed that these guys do the same. When they were 3 days old, they weighed about 57 pounds. Arabian foals, I think on average, you can say are probably about in the 90 pound range. They're definitely on the smaller side. It's really
but that just
hard
makes them cuter. That just makes them cuter.
It does. I can't imagine them ever stallions. I just can't. They're little.
Well, I got to tell you, this is so exciting for you. And what's going to be really cool now is getting the experience of seeing them grow up and seeing them become individuals. You know, having a lot of the same characteristics and different too. You know, so it's going to be really neat that way. You know, I just think it's really cool. And I know Jamie being a twin, I was like, I can't wait for her to see this story.
They have their own Facebook page, Glenn.
Do they?
So I'm following them on Facebook. How do you say their names? I mean, I know magician,
Magus.
Magus.
It's It's Magus. And actually, it's the singular of Magi, like the three wise men were Magi. Magus is a single wise man.
Oh, cool.
Although it's really spelled M-A-G-U-S, but most people would probably say Magus, which is kind of gross sounding.
Yeah.
And daddy's name is Majd El Rabi, and it's M-A-J-D. So I wanted to go with that M-A-J.
Yeah, magician is spelled M-A-J. So these are definitely adorable. We'll post a link to their Facebook page on our Facebook page. And oh my gosh, they're so stinking cute, and they look identical.
They're very close. And one of the things that's not under on their Facebook page, they have like a most frequently asked questions. One that came up later that's not in there. A lot of people have said, well, their markings aren't exact. So how could they possibly be identical? And apparently in the horse world, and I'd imagine the other animal world, markings are actually like a combination of genetic and environmental factors. And like,
well,
so they
clones.
Have the DNA to have that stocking, you know, but the RNA and how it's actually expressed is a little bit different. And yeah, clones even have different, slightly
different colors.
Markings. You're not going to. You know, you're not going to have like a pinto and a solid, but you will have slightly different markings, and their markings are so stinking close.
Yeah.
Well, this is very cool. Congratulations, Mama.
Well, thank
grandma.
You.
She's a grandma.
Grandma, now did you have your baby?
No, I'm not due until early September, so I'm still waddling around with all these foals.
Oh my God. Would that be amazing if she had twins?
Oh, yeah. Have you had? I bet you she went and had an ultrasound that day. Your husband would die.
Pretty much.
Poor guy. He's already bought into this horse thing. Now he has twins. He's going to have three kids of his own. I feel for him. We need to get him on our next horse husbands episode because he could really talk about.
Bless his heart. He's awesome. He puts up with a lot.
Bless his heart. There you go. Says it all.
That's right. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. Thank you, Jennifer Wilson, for joining us, and good luck with yours and good luck with the twins.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
And her farm name is also zenithfarms.com is where you can find the farm, zenithfarms.com. Isn't
Zenith
that cool?
Is spelled with a J, just so you know. Just kidding.
So that's very cool. Very cool.
No, that was awesome. I mean, what a cool story. I'm sorry. I'm checking on seeing if Jennifer has posted my my hot date. Jennifer, did you post my hot date, my dance partner, on
Your
the Facebook page?
Hot date has been posted.
All right, Glenn, I want you to go see my hot date.
Not the same guy. It's not the same guy.
Not the same guy?
Not the same guy.
Darn it. I thought maybe I was supposed
to. This guy, so you cut a rug. Can he looks to be about 92 in that picture. Did he cut a rug too?
He was very sweet. And I did ask him how old he was because Monty, you know, saw us dancing with him. And I mean, when I saw him in there, he was at the corner of the dance floor. And I said to everybody, I'm like, I'm going to make it my personal mission to dance with that guy. And I said, and after I do, you're all doing it. So, I mean, the guy had a great night. He was like, I don't know. There's just women everywhere coming up to me asking me to dance. So we all danced with him. Pat danced with him several times. And I guess Monty looked down and was like, I need to know how old that guy is. I just need to know. He's not going to steal your wife away, Monty. But yeah. So I asked him, I said, how young are you? You know, while we're dancing. And he goes, do you know Mother Nature? And I said, yeah. He goes, she's my aunt.
Good answer. So you never did find out.
I never found out, but he has got to be in his, I mean, he's got to be 90s. And I was guessing 92, 93.
Yeah. That's what I was guessing too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, good. So, that's fun. You made his life.
It was so fun. He was so sweet. You know, whenever you guys are at a dance place like that and you see it is some single old guy, you know, older guy, I take him out and spin him around a little bit. That's all he wants. I mean, that guy went and got all dressed up in his Western shirt and his Western outfit to go to the bar and try to dance with a girl. And you know what? At 93 or whatever, by God, danced with him.
Yeah. And he grew up in the days when you actually learned how to dance.
Right.
Yes. No, true. He knew the moves. I actually said to him, I said, yeah. When I asked him to dance, I said, I'm sorry. I just want you to know that I'm a terrible dancer and I don't know what I'm doing, but if you would like to, and he grabbed me and take me out. Like, no disclaimer. Get out here.
That's funny. Well, very good. Well, let's do this. We're going to have a commercial, and then we're going to play a song. And then I have something I sent out over the weekend. You haven't heard it yet, but I sent out over the weekend to our mailing list, which you can get on by just going to any of our websites and signing up right there at the top. I sent out a little letter because I got to thinking over the weekend. I was getting ready to do, I'm doing a keynote tomorrow night at the Florida Podcasters Association meeting, and I was getting ready for that. And it's also coming up on our anniversary for the Horse Radio Network, beginning of August, August 8th. And it just got me thinking about a lot of things, and I sent out a letter to the listeners over the, and I recorded it, and I'm going to play that as well after the song today. So we have those things coming up, and then Leslie Wiley apparently is going to quiz us, and I always lose these things, but I'm going to try hard today. It's about horses and history. So being that it's about horses and history, I think I might have a shot. It's not about just racehorses where Jamie always beats me. So we're going to be doing that coming up as well. So we'll be right back. Hi, Glenn here, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with this week's Product of the Week.
Hi, Glenn. This week I'm featuring one product, but two types of the same product, the WeatherBeta Elite Saddle Pad. It comes in both all-purpose and dressage style. The thing that makes this unique is it has a sticky piece. It's on the outside of the pad. The outside of the pad is a suede type of material. The inside, of course, is the wicking lining, so your horse is cool and all that. But the outside has this grippy silicone patch logo that actually it's sticky for your saddle, not for your horse. So it tends to not slip. So if you have a saddle, particularly like one of these treeless, and you know, if you can use this and it'll help stick to it. Because sometimes with some of those saddles, you can't use the binding thing. So this will help keep your saddle in place. It also has another way cool feature, which is the girth patch. Instead of being the same material, it's a PVC covered patch there. So it not only is more durable, but then it would keep your pad from getting stained, you know, because sometimes that happens with girth. So I thought that was a pretty unique feature as well. So that's why I wanted to feature that this week. It does come in the all-purpose type and also the dressage type. So check it out. It's by WeatherBeta, well-known, well-beloved brand, WeatherBeta Elite Saddle Pad.
And in a lot of colors.
Yeah, that's true. That's another thing. It comes in blue, light blue, dark blue, pink, purple, and white, and all that. So, yeah, take a look at it. I think you'll like it.
And Price is Right at EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for WeatherBeta Elite, and you'll find it there at EquestrianCollections.com.
If you want to be my friend, treat me right. People say I'm so aloof. That's just because I have learned to stay away from that hot tin roof. So I play. games, just like all the others do. Oh, you laugh in my peculiar ways, and I laugh back.
Everybody, Glenn the Geek here. I just wanted to share an open letter that I wrote to our listeners that was emailed out over the weekend, and I wanted to make sure I read it on all the shows this week as well. And this is what it says. Good morning, loyal listeners. I apologize for the length of this email. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for your support over the last 7 years. In August, the Horse Radio Network will be entering its 8th year. We have come a long way from 12 downloads after the first 3 months to over 7 million in 2014. It's all thanks to you, our loyal listeners and auditors. With your help listening to the shows and supporting the sponsors, we have been able to make the Horse Radio Network one of the top podcast networks in the world. We have done that in a relatively small niche market, but a dedicated, addicted market. It is the love of the horse that brings us together into one great big equine family. And with social media, I think that family is even growing closer and closer all the time. One of the missions of the Horse Radio Network was to help cross the discipline and breed divide and to unite the horse world. We hope to open people's eyes and maybe get them to try new things, and we know many of you have. We have more work to do in this area, but we are chipping away at it and will continue. We have been blessed with the best hosts for the shows over the years. They do the shows because they love being with you every week, certainly not for the money. I could not be more appreciative of their efforts and their dedication to their shows. Let's take a look at some of the numbers that you, the hosts, and the sponsors have helped create. 4,176 episodes we've created, which puts us as one of the probably top 10 largest podcasting networks in the world. 130,000 listeners in 92 countries, over 7 million downloads in 2014 alone. We've interviewed over 6,000 guests, had over 600 product reviews, and hundreds of giveaways. Finally, thank you to our fantastic sponsors who have made all this possible over the years. We always say we couldn't do this without our sponsors, and that is true. We have to test and approve all products we endorse, and we bring you only things that we like and use. You can trust when we talk about a product or run a commercial that we believe in that product or it would not be on the air. Thank you for supporting these companies. I'm raising my glass now with whatever adult or non-adult beverage you have. Here is to another 7 wonderful years together. Now go ride your horse. I also want to thank the ton of people who responded to that and I got emails from, and I will put all those together and share them with all the hosts so that we make sure that you hear how they how you feel about the shows too. I guess the way the letter was written, Jamie, it sounded like I was signing off and that was going to be it for the Horse Radio Network at the beginning. So a lot of people wrote and said, you scared the crap out of us. So
I said to Debbie, I said, did you get the email from Glenn? She's like, yeah, I totally panicked first.
I was just trying to be nice.
It's very ominous. It's like, can I talk to you after the show today? Yeah.
No, I really do appreciate everything. And thank you, Jamie, for helping make the Horse Radio Network what it is today. And of course, Horses in the Morning, the most popular show on the network. And that's a direct result of your efforts. And you don't do it for the money either. So,
Nice. Well, I like to think we get the most downloads because we do the most shows. It has nothing to do with being in the favorite. We just happen to do the most.
Right, it's a lot of fun. I look forward to it every day. And, you know, I have Jennifer and I and you and, you know, all of us have the best jobs in the world. We get to talk for a living and talk about something we're passionate about, we love. And we get to meet neat people like what we did on Friday. You know, we talked to the owner of American Pharoah. And then today we talked to a lady who had twins in her backyard. It's just the coolest job.
Yeah, it really is. Well, I'm so glad that we get to put this on, and our producer does a great job. Jennifer booking guests. Way to go.
Let's give her a hand because she doesn't get enough recognition for and it is a hassle what she does. It is truly a hassle.
Especially when I email her at 3 a.m. going, I saw this on Facebook. Get this person on the show.
Yeah, we want them on today.
Yeah. I need to talk to them right now.
Well, you know, and I think too, I'm very proud of the fact that Uniting the Horse World was what is our mission statement. And how many people have we heard from that have tried driving or have tried a number of different sports, you know, competitive trail riding and different things like that because they heard about it on the show. They would have never done it otherwise. So I'm very, very, very proud of that. That was one of our goals. And, you know, there's another place that does that very well, too, in Uniting the Horse World, and that's Leslie.
Good sex.
It was. Good frontier.
These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Good morning to our friend Leslie Wiley. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Listen to that sound. She has stepped it up and is now with a microphone. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm professional now.
God, you sound so good. You sound like you're sitting right here with us.
I know.
Why didn't we think of this 3 years ago?
Yeah, I know. You're usually fuzzy. And
I just turned around to see if she was behind me. Like, what? How are you?
I'm super. I've had teacups of coffee. I'm ready to go.
You know what? What I didn't tell you is Leslie usually doesn't get up to like 9:30. She is the most weird horse person ever because I'll get an email from her, or sometimes she's actually missed this show more than Jamie has. She's actually missed this show and because she was still sleeping at 10 something.
What?
So now this morning I said, we got to test your sound, 8 o'clock. And I could tell in her email back, it was like, oh God, I got to get up. So, and then I forgot to call her and I got an email from, I'm up.
To my credit, I've also emailed you guys at like, you've gotten emails from me at like 4:30 in the morning.
That
so
is true.
I keep some odd hours.
You got to remember too, that one time she did miss the show, she was actually riding. So she wasn't even sleeping.
That's true.
Sorry, I was out of the barn. I lost track of time. Yeah, we've all been there. It's all good. So what is going on Horse Nation?
Well, you know how much we love quizzes, and especially I love taking our quizzes and administering them to you two.
embarrassing us otherwise.
Yes, exactly.
AKA embarrassing you. And pitting Jamie and Glenn against one another. So that's what I would love to do today. That would make my Monday morning dream come true.
Now, Jamie, you have not looked at this. I have not looked at this. Have you looked at it? Okay.
But it said, don't look at this.
All right, but I didn't know if you had seen it last week. You were kind of busy, so so I figured you probably hadn't seen it.
Yeah, well, Melanie Eberhardt, who does some great comics for us, she does a comic called Knickerdoodles, and last week, slightly belated spirit of the 4th of July, she did a Horses in American History quiz. She says, put on your best red, white, and blue. Decide if the question is false or it's true. Tally your scores and see how you do. So excuse we have me. 10 sorry questions. I know, she's a poet and an artist. And,
yeah, it's amazing.
So she sent us, we've got 5 or 10 statements here. And I'm going to read them to you guys, and I want you guys to tell me whether you think that they are true or false.
Oh, this is easy. True or false? We got 50-50. Mm-hmm.
Then. True or false? 50-50. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I have ready? The buzzer ready, by the way, Leslie. It's ready. Okay.
<I'm>
ready.
That's great.
Go ahead.
Okay. Here we go. Number one. True or false, the Budweiser Clydesdales were introduced in 1967 in a beer commercial during the first Super Bowl broadcast on national TV.
1967.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're old. I'm going to say false because I think they're older than that.
What got me is that 1967 could not have been the first Super Bowl broadcast on national TV.
You know what? I kind of think it. I think that sounds about right. Hey, you know, I'm still going to stick with false.
Okay,
I'm going to say false for other reasons.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you guys are both correct. The answer is false.
Yay!
The Budweiser Clydesdales were introduced in 1933 to celebrate the repeal of Prohibition. The six-horse team was a gift to August Busch Sr. from his two sons, August Jr. and Adolphus. There you go.
I thought it was much older than that. I kind of had, because they, what year was it again?
It was 1933.
33. Wow. Mm-hmm. So those are, okay. They're almost 100 years old. They've been using them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. All right. You ready?
Now you got me curious. Jennifer, look up when the first Super Bowl on TV was.
I'm Googling it right now.
Okay. Because now you got me curious about that. So we're even, one all.
Oh, all right. All right. Here we go.
All right.
Okay. Plowing a 40-acre field with a team of horses took a 19th century American farmer approximately 16 10-hour days or 160 hours. True or false?
How many acres?
40. 40 acres.
Okay. Now, having watched the Amish do this when I was growing up, God, 40 acres is big. How many days?
16 10-hour days.
Okay, Glenn, go to Horse Nation, go to the link so you can read along with the question.
I'm going to
go true. True on this one.
All right.
I mean, it sounds, I hate to agree with Glenn, but it just sounds too detailed to be made up. So I'm going to go with true.
All right. And the answer is true.
Yay!
That farmer and his team would also walk 330 total miles back and forth along the furrows.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
By comparison, a modern tractor can plow the same 40 acres in less than an hour.
Wow.
Crazy.
I kind of had a feeling about that one because I did watch the Amish do this growing up.
Well, yeah. I remember War Horse. He had to plow the field with Joey, and it took a really long time.
At least 5 minutes in the movie.
They were so tired by the end. Yeah,
that'd be a really long movie.
Yeah, here you go. Still plowing. Still plowing. Still in the theater 3 days later.
16-day movie marathon. <That's right. laughs>
All right, okay, you guys all. Are
two for two. All right, true or false? In 2001, U.S. Special Operations teams rode stallions into combat in Afghanistan.
Jamie?
Oh my gosh, that's hard. 2001, Afghanistan. I mean, they'd be on Arab stallions. I just, Special Operations. I don't know why they would ride a horse into Afghanistan. I don't know. I'm going false.
Okay. I think this is true, and I'll tell you why, and I should recuse myself from this answer.
Oh,
is because Jennifer's brother was a Green Beret at that time and rode horses in Afghanistan. So I'm going to say true.
Glenn is correct.
Yeah. Kind of had inside knowledge to that one.
<That's>
Jennifer's
okay.
brother was one of those people riding those horses. So.
Yeah, well, 2001, it was the first use of horses by an American military unit in nearly a century. Afghan culture mandates that only stallions or geldings be ridden in combat. No mares allowed. A statue commemorating these modern horse soldiers was dedicated in 2011 and resides across from the World Trade Center.
I remember him saying to Jennifer that, because he had ridden a little bit growing up too, and he was really appreciative of that when he got this assignment. But I remember him saying that he could have shot his horse by the end because he just was so sick of that horse. So the horse was not great. He didn't do that, but he said he just was sick of that horse. He said, we have perfectly good jeeps and helicopters. I had to ride a horse for a week. So
that should be like vacation,
extreme vacation.
It's just like your dude ranch vacation. Take a Arab stallion into Afghanistan.
In the mountains.
In the mountains of Afghanistan. It'll be
while people are shooting at you.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Bucket list. Hello.
That makes Monty's place look mild.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Jamie, Glenn's one up on you now.
Dang it. Okay. He's going to win history anytime. Kind of a nerd. That's why he's a geek.
That's right.
All right, here we go. True or false? The John Butterfield Company made the first transcontinental U.S. mail delivery via stagecoach.
Doesn't say a year or anything, just whether they did it or not.
That is the company John Butterfield, or is it like Wells Fargo?
Oh, I never heard of John Butterfield. Did you?
No, so I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say true.
True. Oh, Glenn's got Woo-hoo! It again. True.
Look at me taking the lead.
I'm too suspicious. I'm like John Butterfield. That sounds made up.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it did.
We all
sounded like it should be a syrup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a trick question because it's not a trick question, but you know, the pony, when you think of transcontinental U.S. mail delivery on horse, you think Pony Express, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't transcontinental. That actually only went from like Arizona to California or Montana or something. It was just a West Coast thing. Yeah. People think that went for a long time too. It only went for like, 4 or 5 years, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a reenactment of that in Arizona, and they did it about a week and a half ago. The reenactment of the Pony Express ride, and guys from all over, the cowboys, take their horses and they reenact the whole thing and they do the whole whatever. But no, it starts in Arizona and like ended in California.
You know who did that was Karen, who does our endurance show. She did that ride.
The full ride,
2,000 miles. She did that full ride and it took her 2 weeks, I think. What they usually do when they reenact it is they just pick up and they do different groups that do different sections of it. It's kind of like a relay race. Mm-hmm. But she actually rode her horse, same horse, through the whole ride.
Wow. Poor horse.
Her horses seem to be really tough.
Yeah.
All right. So I got a 4-2 lead. I'm loving this game.
All right. Here we go. Revolutionary patriot Paul Revere rode his chestnut stallion, Aristides, on his famous midnight ride, warning Americans, the British are coming, the British are coming.
Well, of course, yes, true.
Yeah, but the question is, what is the horse's name? Now that horse won the Kentucky Derby, very, very, that same name. So did they name the Kentucky Derby winner after Paul Revere's horse? Maybe. I'm going to go true. Glenn, what's your thought?
I'm still going true, yep.
Oh man, false.
What was the horse's name? Something like Ted, right?
Yeah, this is a little Brown. Tricky. For his famous ride, Paul Revere borrowed a mare, not a stallion, named Brown Beauty, not Aristides.
Oh my gosh, I knew that.
Merchant John Larkin. Aristides was the first thoroughbred to win the Kentucky Derby in 1875.
I thought maybe they named it after him. That was totally tricky.
That was totally tricky.
I might give Jamie a point just for knowing that horse won the Kentucky Derby.
That was...
I'm giving her a point just for that. I mean, an 18 something.
Yeah, that was impressive. That was some trivia.
Yeah, you get a bonus for that one.
Yeah. One of the first ones.
Yeah. All right. True or false? During the Depression, the U.S. government provided funds for librarians to distribute books and magazines in rural Appalachia on horseback.
Boy, that just sounds like it would be true, doesn't it?
I think that's very true. I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, I'm going with true, too, I think, on that one.
True. Yeah, the WPA funded the Pack Horse Librarians. I'd never even heard of that before. Women were hired to distribute books in eastern Kentucky. They rode mules and horses averaging 50 to 80 miles a week. Considered one of the most successful WPA programs, the Pack Horse Librarians served approximately 100,000 residents of Appalachia.
See, that's where the idea for those salesmen that used to come to our door, you guys don't remember this, but there used to be the encyclopedia salesman used to knock on your door and try. My mom bought encyclopedias. Jennifer's mom bought two sets.
We had them too.
Yeah. Aww. That was the first encyclopedia salesman. Horseback.
Is he on horseback?
And those were heavy. If you remember, those sets were about 25 heavy books. So I can't imagine carrying those on horseback.
I think, what's the movie where he was like, I couldn't afford the whole set, so I just bought Q.
Yeah. Encyclopedias, my God. Can you? That was our internet. Yeah. That was Wikipedia back then.
Yeah.
And I would go, Mom, what about this? Look it up. We've got encyclopedias.
That's right. It's the only place you had to go to the library otherwise.
My kid, I've got to say, Google it.
Yeah. God, that's a trip down memory lane there. All right. So I think we both got that one, right? So,
yep.
So it's 5-4.
5-4. Watch out, Glenn. All right. During the Revolutionary War, mounted military units proved indispensable to General Washington in defense of the American colonies against the British. True or false?
We're watching Turn. Do you guys watch Turn, either of you? The story about the spies in the Revolutionary War with Washington. It's a very good show. And they don't play a very big part. I'm going to say false.
What do you think, Jamie?
I'm trying to look it up so I can read this question. During the Revolution, we were mounted military. American colonies. I'm going to go true. That sounds good.
All right.
Okay, Glenn, you went with false.
False, yeah.
Okay. Glenn's got one more up on you.
Damn it!
False! Cavalry units during the Revolutionary War were generally considered ineffective because of the heavily forested terrain and few roads.
Yeah.
Most units served primarily ceremonial duties. Washington actually dismissed several units shortly after they were commissioned. Regarding the Connecticut Troop of Light Horse, Washington wrote, they can be no longer of use here, and I do not care how soon they are dismissed. Yikes. Oh,
you know, they just had a battle on Turn last week, and it still amazes me that they all lined up in a field and shot each other. That's just 25 yards apart. We're just going to take turns shooting each other.
Yeah.
Round after round. It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
I just want to go back and say that the first Super Bowl was in 1967.
So it was on TV in 1967 then.
I don't know if it was on TV, but it was played in 1967. So
yeah, that seemed about right. Yeah. So how many more do we have? Because I'm winning 6-4.
You are. We've got three left.
Your chance, Jamie, to redeem yourself.
I know. Here this we go. Crap, but I'm interested.
You got
in
it. Don't lose hope, Jamie. You're chin high.
Thanks, Leslie.
Look at her cheering you on.
Got this. True or false? By 1910, there were approximately 2,000 cars and 1.5 million horses in the United States.
True.
True.
False. At the turn of the 20th century, the principal means of transportation was still horsepower of the four-legged kind. In 1910, there were approximately 6,000 cars in the U.S., but those were far outnumbered by lots and lots of horses, 21 21.5 million. Today, there are 254 million vehicles, including trucks, buses, and motorcycles, and far fewer horses, only 9.2 million.
Why is it the horse husband in me looks at that, and I see these old videos, the really old videos of how many horses were in the streets and stuff of the cities, and all I can think of is the amount of poop and how it must have stank.
It's horse poop, Glenn. It doesn't stink. Watch your mouth.
That's all I can think of. It's like, where'd they put it all?
Yeah, 1.5 million horses should have been the tip. It's probably a lot more than that.
Yeah, a lot more than that. All right, moving on. There's still a chance to redeem yourself.
That's right.
True or false? A former racehorse, Reckless, was purchased at a local racetrack by members of a U.S. Marine division during the Korean War. Her heroic service during combat earned her a battlefield promotion to sergeant. You guys know this one.
Well, I know, but I thought she was higher than sergeant, but I'll say true.
Was it a thoroughbred?
Huh. She was very small.
I'm going to say false because I'm not sure she was a thoroughbred that raced. So,
Let's see. Well, what's your weigh in?
I'm
what's
false.
Your weigh in, Jamie?
He says false. I'll say true. I got to get some points.
Okay, Jamie, you get it.
Woohoo!
Yeah, someone needs to make a movie about this incredible little mare.
During one fierce engagement,
Reckless made 51 solo trips to resupply multiple frontline units solo without a handler. Crazy. Let's see if she's got some.
You know what's really sad? It's sitting on the corner of my desk, and I'm not kidding, is the book Reckless, and I just haven't read it yet.
That's why you haven't read it, because there's no movie. But I want that book. You're supposed to send me that book because you haven't read it, and you were going to send it to me when you were done.
I haven't finished it yet.
Well, get on it. We would have confidently answered this question. No, I knew she was a thoroughbred. I just didn't know the other details. I thought she was higher than a sergeant, but maybe sergeant is high. I don't know.
She was promoted twice to staff sergeant. Let's see, she was 13 hands high, and she was purchased from a racetrack in Seoul for $250.
I didn't know that part.
13 hands, and she, my God, that horse had to work hard.
She also had a voracious appetite, enjoyed, I'm not kidding you, this is from her own, the website, scrambled eggs and pancakes in the morning. Loved cake, Hershey bars.
She
candy,
was high in sugar. That's why she ran so fast.
Poker chips, blankets, and hats.
She was all sugar.
Would eat anything.
Poker chips.
That's funny. And they wrote it all down because that's what all these guys were feeding on their plates, just feeding her off their plates. No wonder she worked so hard.
Yeah, that's right.
For them. I get more food? Okay, I'll take it in. Okay.
All right, we're running out of time. We have one more question, and Jamie can tie it with this.
Okay, got this. Okay, true or false? Between 1914 and 1917, World War One, the United States shipped approximately 1,000 horses a day overseas to serve in the war effort.
I'm going to say true. It might even have been higher than that.
But. I was thinking it sounded higher. Yeah. I'll go true. Should I disagree with Glenn so we separate it a little bit more? Or should I go with my gut?
I think you should go with your gut.
Oh, there's a hint.
Okay, I'm going true.
True.
Yay.
Yeah, so that's what happened to all those. What did we say? There were 21.5 million.
Yes, they all went over there. Yep.
This is what happened to them.
The only reason I said I thought maybe it might be more per day, but then I thought that's a lot of ships. So I thought, they're not going to ship more than 1,000 a day. That's a lot of ships.
U.S. provided nearly 500,000 horses for the war effort. It is estimated that more than 8 million horses died, along with 10 million military personnel and approximately 7 million civilians.
Yeah, and they did not bring those horses back either.
No.
Look at that. That means that I beat Jamie at a trivia contest about horses.
All right. Next week, Leslie, I want you to report back with a horse racing history
Wait a minute.
Or parts of the horse.
You got to wait for the cheering. Thank you.
Methods, medical, anything. I'll beat him in all of them.
Except for history.
Anything except for history.
you held your own. You hung right in there. It was down to the wire. It was nose to nose. Photo finish.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Leslie, thank you so much, as always. We only got to talk about one thing today, but you have a ton of other stories over there at Horse Nation, so everybody can head over to horsenation.com. You sound so wonderful. I didn't know this is what you sounded like.
Oh.
Yeah, you sound
maybe I should sing more on the show now that I've got proper.
Yes.
You want to sing the show out? We'll do our closing. You sing in the background, okay? She thinks I'm kidding.
I'm going back to where I'm getting out of here.
Bye, Leslie.
Bye.
All right,
she can
everybody.
Whose bed have your boots been under with me? We can sing that out.
Have your boots been under?
Tomorrow we have. Keep going. I'm just talking over the clothes. Tomorrow we have Karen chatting with Endurance Day here on Horses in the Morning, and then Wednesday Jamie will be back with more stories from California.
And whose lips have you?
All right, it's all yours, girls.
All right, hang up on me. I'm leaving.
I'm out of here.
All right, bye, guys.